We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Oh, I love this time of year when family gets together. We're all so close. My husband and I just enjoy opening our home to our family. Do you think they'll realize? Do you think they'll know that we haven't been close in years? We fight all the time when the kids aren't looking. Do you think they'll see that we're not talking? That we're not close? That we don't touch each other? Do you think we can hide that?
Hey, everybody. Who likes peanut? I got to redeem myself because last week I tried flipping these things. They were terrible. All right. I found out if you ball them up, who else likes peanut? All right, there. It's a little, see, that's way better. You might hurt yourself, actually. Who likes regular? Who likes regular? Right there. There you go, Zach. Good to see you back, man. More peanut. Here we go. Oh, there you go. All right. Thank you. Excellent. Welcome back to Redemption Church, everybody. We're in the final week of our costumes series. My name is Chris Fluid. I'm lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I'm just blessed. I am blessed everywhere I look. Do you feel that way? I'm not saying that everything in life is perfect, but I'm saying everything in life is actually better than I deserve. I know it. I'm a sinner saved by grace. God is good to me. Hallelujah. Anybody feel that way? I feel that way. And we've been really pumped about costumes. We've been sharing costume stories. Here is one such costume story over the last 3 weeks. Y'all have shared some stories. Here was a good one. I had to share it with you. This was texted to us on our anonymous phone line. That growing up, they had like one costume that they reused over and over again. It was a Wolfman costume. And so they bought the Wolfman mask. And then 1 week, 1 year, they would dress up like football Wolfman, and the next week it would be like businessman. Next year it would be businessman Wolfman. It was gangster Wolfman, and of course it was also Teen Wolf.
Oh yeah,
very underrated Michael J. Fox movie. Not a Michael Jackson movie at all. All right. And so the story goes that the 1 year he was as football Wolfman, he just went knocking houses like he normally does. But by chance, he knocked on the door of his math teacher's house. And when he turned to leave, he saw the math teacher. He kept his mask on. He's like, oh no, it's Mr. So-and-so. I don't want him to know it's me. But when he turned around to leave, the name on the back of his jersey gave it away. And from then on, the rest of the semester, that math teacher called him Wolf. From then on. Here is my costume memory, my Halloween costume memory. I was a ghost for Halloween. I pleaded and begged. Do we have that picture? There we go. I don't know. Yeah. I'm still recovering. All right, here's the deal. I wanted to be a spooky ghost for Halloween, but in the end, I was just kind of miserable. Can you see some misery in my eyes? It's not the people I'm with. I'm with my dear great aunt, Mabel, there, and I'm not upset with her. I'm not upset with people, but I'm not really enjoying life in this picture, if you can notice. My mom worked really hard on this costume, but costumes never quite turn out like you think they're going to. I thought I was going to be this spooky ghost, and I was going to float on a cloud or something, and I was going to walk through walls or something. I had no sense of reality, but I was going to boo, and everyone was like, oh my goodness, it's a scary ghost. It was nothing like that at all. What I remember most about this is that I kept tripping on my costume. It was like put together with little pins, and I kept tripping on the thing, and I couldn't walk, and that was difficult. And it was cold. It was one of those Halloweens where it's cold. I hate Halloweens where it's cold. It was one of those. And I was just cold. And about this time I had had it. I was crashed. I just want to be warm. Make it in. Can we all agree there is nothing scary about this ghost? Nothing scary. He needs a hug. He needs a hug. All right. A costume is something you wear that hides your true identity. And this Saturday, some kids are going to be wearing those costumes, and they're going to be getting all kinds of candy, Oh, yeah, there we go. Peanut butter. There you go. And the idea is that you wear this costume and nobody knows who you are. It can hide things. It can hide your identity. Real quick overview of the whole series. Week one, we talked about our fear. And our fear compels us to hide. But while we're hiding, we see that God seeks us out. In the Garden of Eden, they hid, but God sought them out, and God seeks all of us out. Week two, we talked about self-deception, that we might not even be aware of our costume, that we might be telling ourselves lies, and that we start believing those lies. And then last week, week three, we talked about financial fakers and how in society, even in the church, we place more value on an image than the truth. More value on an image than the truth. And today, in the final week of this series, I want to talk to you about hiding hurt. Hiding hurt. NFL coach Bum Phillips said that there are two types of coaches in the NFL. Those that have been fired and those that will be fired. That's how that works, and it's a great lesson for the NFL. But today, we're going to kind of take his saying and say it like this. In life, there are those that have been hurt and those that will be hurt. And that's everyone in the room. When you bump into someone at the grocery store, you just, hey, I know you. Anytime I bump into someone in Dallas, this huge metroplex, I'm like, hey, it's someone I know. Because it's like, I'm from Waco. Like a smaller town, and you bump into someone you know everywhere. But in Dallas, it is a rare thing. I almost think that if I bump into someone that I know, it's probably an angel has placed them there for me to talk to. It's really how I feel. But all right, so you bump into someone at the grocery store, you're talking to them. Or how about you stand in line at Starbucks, and there's people around you. How about you're cut off in traffic, and you totally meet eyes with that person. And even if you don't, like, yell at them and give them offensive signs, you meet eyes and you go, yeah, you know, and I know you cut me off, right? And when you share pleasantries with someone you work with at the work water cooler, when you're visiting family and you're chit-chatting, you're talking about the kids and how things are, when you greet someone at church, this list could go on and on. Chances are very good that you're looking at someone that is hurting. It might change how you feel about the person that cut you off in traffic. That might change how you feel about the person that checking you out at the grocery store and they aren't very friendly. That might change the way you feel about the family member that said hurtful things about you. If you realize that you are looking at somebody that's hurting, wherever you are in life, chances are very good that you're looking at someone that is hurting. Something I've been told really recently in ministry, I'm going to put this in my heart and remember it. Just a mentor of ministry told me this, that chances are every time you preach, one in three people that you preach to is hurting and they're going through something that they don't know what they're dealing with. Do that math. That is a lot of hurt. Yes. Chances are you saw someone today. You will see someone after this service that is hurting very badly. And you might not know that they're hurting because we have costumes. We have all these things that we can hide behind. We can hide our true identity. No, everything's going great. No. I just got a new car. Haven't you seen my pictures on Facebook? Everything is going great. I can't be hurting. I've got all this. But the truth is, if you could get past that costume, that's a person that's hurting. Maybe they got bad news at work, like real bad news at work. And maybe now they're in danger of losing their home. Maybe someone close to them just tried to take their own life. It's really bad, the people that take their life, but the people around them, it hurts them like unbelievably. Even if they don't end up taking their life, the fact that they were thinking they were going to take their life, that just brings such a hurt that someone I love, that you could be looking at somebody dealing with that. Maybe their child has a dangerous illness and they're devastated. Maybe behind closed doors, they're praying like they've never prayed before. They're crying, they're on their face saying, God, I don't know if you're real, but if you are real, could you come right? right now. That could be the person you're looking at. Maybe someone's marriage is coming to an end. Maybe someone's marriage has just come to an end. Maybe a teenage girl found out that she's pregnant and she's scared. No one knows yet. She's scared and she's hurting. Now, there are big hurtful happenings all around us. And maybe they could even be on a smaller scale. But those smaller scale hurts, oh man, they hurt. They hurt real bad. A student scared that they won't pass a class? How about a student scared that they can't pay for the next semester? Someone stuck in a job they hate? Someone hurting because of what someone said about them? And it could have been something recent or it could have been something decades ago. I promise you today that you know someone that is hurting. I promise you today, I'm preaching to someone today that is hurting. I want to tell you that you're here for a reason. God knows your heart. He wants to bring healing to your hurt. God gives hope to hurting. You can receive hope today. I want everybody in this place to walk out with hope. Psalm 62 and 5, let's read this through verse 8. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Man, if that's a message the world needs to hear today. Your good news, your life, it depends on God. It doesn't depend on the stock market. It doesn't depend on who's going to win the election. It doesn't depend on who's going to win on Sunday. It doesn't depend on any of those things. He is my refuge. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge, Selah. That word Selah means think about it. Think about it. Spend some time thinking about those things. I want to tell you that God gives hope. The scriptures told you that God gives you a lot of things. He gives salvation. He gives refuge. He gives honor. He gives rest. He gives strength. I don't know what you're needing today, but those things sound pretty good. And they come from? They come from God. God's got those things for you. God does not wave a magic wand and make hurt disappear. Well, that's bad news, because that's about 90% of the way we pray. God, I got this problem. Can you make them disappear? Ding. Whatever happened to so-and-so? Well, I prayed. Too often that's what we ask Him to do. But God, that's not how God works. You've got this hurt in your life. God does not just go, ting, now you don't hurt from that, from those years of abuse. He doesn't go, ting, and now you hurt because they said those things. He doesn't say, ting. I guess that's the sound magic wands make, ting. He doesn't do those things. I want to go further. God never promised you that you won't hurt. And I don't know, but it seems like somewhere in the way we're brought up, we're like, oh no, I'm sure it says that somewhere in the Bible. No, I'm sure He doesn't. I'm sure the way some people preach actually is that there are some people that preach that if you aren't blessed and have a lot of money in the bank, that God doesn't love you or you're not in the perfect will of God. None of that's true. None of that's true. No, 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 no. I'll gladly talk to you off of that cliff right there. God doesn't wave this magic wand, and God never promised you won't hurt. Coming to faith in Jesus Christ does not mean a hurt-free life. In fact, there are places in the Bible Jesus warns them. He says, you're going to be persecuted because of me. You're going to hurt because of me. Jesus. How, you might have ever, maybe you've been hurt because of Jesus, but is He worth it? Yeah. Is He worth it? Oh my goodness. There's this one wonderful scripture that Paul talks about. I forget where it is, but he's talking about all the things he's been through. It's like, I've been shipwrecked. I've been, you know, beaten. I've been thrown in jail. And he's got like this laundry list of things that makes you go, whoa. And then he says these words that are very convicting. Here they are. But all this is just light afflictions in the light of the glory that is to come in Jesus Christ. What? All these things are light afflictions. I don't know what you're going today, but let me tell you, Paul would tell you, listen, I know it's tough
And he's not just saying words there. He says that it's just light affliction compared to the greater glory that is to come. It's a heavy, big glory you're going to find in Jesus Christ. It's going to be worth it all. I don't know. That was not in my notes. Someone needed that. You need to go through life knowing that tomorrow's worth it. Heaven's worth it. God's worth it. You can go all the way with him. All the way in Jesus. John chapter 16, 33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now this next sentence is funny that it follows that sentence. In this world you will have trouble. Those just seem like Jesus says double talk. That doesn't make sense. Because we equate peace to being trouble free. Oh, there's a trouble. Now I've lost all peace. Well, if your peace is based on that, you're never going to have peace. Because there's always something wrong in your universe. Amen? You aren't the only one with something wrong in your universe. We got things wrongs in the fluids houses, all right? But he goes on to say, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus promises you that you will hurt, all right? Bummer. But he promises you this. But he promises that in life, everything he has told us is so that we will have peace. That's what he says right there. I've told you these things so you have peace. Even in a world of trouble, you will have peace. In fact, don't fear. Take heart. Be encouraged because I have overcome this world. This world in all of its troubles, this world in all of its failures, this world in all of its worries, this world in all of its funerals, this world in all of its job layoffs, this world in all of its arguments, this world, I've overcome it. Take heart. Take heart. Amen. And because he's overcome this world in all of its troubles, you can have peace because you're walking in his peace, all right? Your hurt does not mean you're doing something wrong. That's really important for somebody. I still have trouble with this one. Can I be transparent with you? I still have trouble with this one. I'm famous for doing this, all right? I'm driving along. I've got a flat tire. God, what have I done wrong? I have a flat tire. God, I thought we were pals and you were taking care of my tires. I must be doing something wrong. I probably sinned and didn't even know it. And that's why my tires, you probably put a nail there to show me now that I'm in sin. Listen, buddy, it could be that your tires are 8 years old. It could be that, okay? Just saying. Your hurt does not mean you're doing something wrong. If you're hurting in life, it doesn't mean God is mad at you. It doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. Oh, man, if you are believing that, you've listened to the wrong voice along the line. Because he's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. That's our Jesus. Everyone is going to experience hurt in this world. This world is hurtful. This world is a broken world. It's broken by sin. This world gives us nothing but hurt. A man's life is few of days and full of trouble, the Bible says. This world gives us nothing but trouble. But God gives hope. He gives hope. I want to tell you that God heals hurts, that you don't have to carry this hurt forever. God intends to heal the hurt. But nowhere in Scripture does it say God will conceal the hurt. See, we're really big on concealing the hurt. If we spent as much time in healing the hurt as we did in concealing and hiding the hurt, we'd be healed, all right? We try to hide that. God cannot heal a concealed hurt. It's not that he can't, but he won't. All Scripture insists that hurts be revealed. So if you've got this costume over your hurt, it's actually keeping you from the healing you need. The Bible tells you that sin needs to be confessed. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you got to confess it. You got to reveal it. There's a place in the Bible where Jesus, he comes up to a man with a withered hand. And he says, stretch forth your hand. Oh, Jesus, but this is withered and I don't want anybody to see this. But he stretched forth that withered hand. But when he stretched it forth to Jesus for everyone to see, a healed hand appeared. You got to expose your weakness. You're afraid of your weakness. You're afraid of what other people feel about you. But a lot of times when you expose those things, it frees you from bondage. It frees you from fear. It gives you some accountability. And sometimes you need some accountability in your life. I got this sin problem, but now I've told everyone about it. And that accountability actually takes away all the shame of that, all the things that held you back on that. It actually helps you to walk in freedom and walk side by side with other people. It's a powerful thing. You have to admit you're in need. Church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, it talks about all these churches, and then it talks about that last church. And they, man, God just lays down the smack with them. He tells them some tough stuff, and it's all based on this problem. You are in need of nothing. Was their problem? You have to admit, Church of Laodicea, that you're in need. He says that you are naked, but you think you're clothed. You need to admit that you're naked. You think you're rich. You put on the front that you're rich, but really you're poor. You need to admit that you're poor. And then it says that God will put oil on your eyes that you can see, and that he will give you gold that's tried in the fire that you can really be rich. You see, you aren't rich in the world's gold. You can be rich in God's gold. And your vision, the image that people have from you, that's nothing. You need some oil put on your eyes so you can really see. But none of that can happen, Laodicea, until you admit your need. You got to admit your need to Jesus today. I fully admit to him, that one's easy for me. I've crossed that bridge. I need you, Lord, every day. If you want healing today, you need to stop hiding behind costumes. Here are three ways God wants to bring healing to your hurt. I'll try to hit these really quick. Number one, God uses people. Usually when we hurt, we feel alone. But watch the command given to the church in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. What if someone mourned with you? What if you weren't just all by yourself crying and sad, but someone came alongside of you? What if someone cared for you like it was their own hurt? Have you ever had that in life? It's a beautiful thing. Someone comes alongside of you and cries with you. You lost your mom. They didn't lose their mom, but they're crying with you. That's a beautiful picture of the church, that we are to mourn with those that mourn. What if someone rejoiced over your success like it was their own achievement? Yeah. Have you ever experienced that? That's wonderful. That's beautiful. Rejoicing with those that rejoice, mourning with those that mourn. The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be like that. That is a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ, that nobody's by themselves. You aren't mourning all by yourself. When something bad happens in your life, you don't disappear and we don't see you for five more months, but you come right here and you find healing right here with your brothers and sisters. That when something good, I gotta preach this for a little bit. When something good happens in your life, we don't see you for five more months. You see that in churches. They're here praying, God, I need you, I need you, I need you. He gives them the job. He gives them the car. He gives them the finances. He opens the door for them. They're like, sweet, now I don't need God anymore. And we don't see them for five more months. We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen it. We want you to be here and we will rejoice with you. We want you to be here and we will cry with you. We want you here. We want a better life for you and we want to live it with you. Amen. Is that the church I'm in today? Did I walk into the right church? Is that the church we're in today? That's the church we're in. Are you bringing healing to Redemption Church? Because God uses people to heal hurts. I don't know everything God wants to do here at Redemption Church. I don't. But I know he wants to bring healings to hurts. I know he wants to bring hurting people into this place and not for them to be judged, but for them to be loved. I know he wants to bring people in this place that have a past and have a history that they've done their best to hide. But one day that thing that they've done their best to hide, God's going to turn it into the greatest testimony that they're going to stand on roofs and shout it out, the glory of God, what he's done for them. I know that is what God wants to do here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Read this with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Pause. We just got to stop here because some of you weren't told about a God of compassion. That wasn't the picture maybe you learned in the church that you were raised in. Maybe you were raised in a church that said, God, those sinners, they need to turn to God before he just splits the earth open and just destroys them. And also, God is compassionate. Maybe you're raised in a church like that. I want to tell you, you don't have the right picture of God if you don't see him as a father of compassion. Can I get a witness in the house that we serve a father of compassion? And he is also, I love this one, he is the God of some. He's the God of a little. He's the God, when you do right, that's when he comforts you. No, he is the God of all comfort. Oh man, if you're hurting and you're uncomfortable in your life, you're in the right place. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles? Look at this. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. See, God wants to comfort you. And then you take that same comfort you've received from God and comfort others. Amen. That's beautiful. That's God's plan for you, Redemption Church. That's God's plan for you. He sends us the comforter. And he comforts us. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's spirit inside of you. But you aren't just supposed to go, oh, great, I'm glad I got that now. Now I'm all good. Those suckers need to receive what I got. No, you're supposed to go out and take that comfort to them. Has God ever put food on your table? You ought to take some of that comfort to someone else. Has God ever brought you out of darkness and brought clarity to your life? You need to bring some of that wisdom to other people. That's why he gave it to you. He gave it to you. Not just for this room. See, we're really good at using it in this room. Brother, I just feel in the Lord that he wants me to encourage you and give you comfort. That's really good. No, he wants you to do that at Starbucks. Not just here. He wants you to do that in your home. Not just here. He wants you to do that. You're walking through the mall and God just says, that person right there, encourage them. And you just go, you don't argue with God. You say, okay. And it'll be funny sometimes. It'll be weird sometimes, but it'll be spot on God all the time. You just watch. It was late at night. We were moving 300 chairs recently. Long story, but we were at a 7-Eleven. I walked in, I was buying some drinks, and I was just tired. And I walked up to the table to pay for my drinks, and the lady was on a phone. And I didn't see any signs of this at all, but God just said, tell her that I know where she is right now. She's not far from me. So I just said, hey, cool night we're having. Hey, I just want you to know, God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. You're not alone in all this, okay? I don't know what that means to you, but I know that God wanted me to tell you that. So thanks for the Sprites. God has people all around you that are hurting. And when you know it, he's given you comfort to extend to them. The God of all comfort, he comforts us so that we can comfort others. It is difficult to reveal our hurt to people. Why? Well, because it's people that hurt us. Oh, people. God uses people. Yeah, right. God used people to hurt me. No, that's not true. You have a bad theology if you think God uses people to hurt you. No, God actually uses people to help you. It's difficult to reveal our hurt to people because, well, maybe you were hurt in a past marriage or relationship. And so now you're looking at a new relationship, but now you can't trust those people because of those people. Maybe a past friend hurt you, and now so you've got a need for new friends, and people want to be your friends, but you're hesitant. You're not gonna. Maybe you were hurt by a church, and you're walking in a church, going, "Yeah, I bet there's all kinds of hurt." Ready. Maybe you were hurt by a former pastor or former minister, and maybe no matter what I say today, you're looking at me going, "Oh yeah, I bet you are no different than the other person that hurt me just like that." I want to tell you real quick, you got to drop that act. You got to drop that costume. You're hiding behind that stuff, and God wants to use people right now in this room to help heal your hurt. You trusted a person, they hurt you real bad. God's going to send another person in your life, and they are trustworthy. He's going to do it. God may want to heal your hurt through a person in his church. This happens when we trust him. This happens when we share with each other. We go to connect group. We have a connect group during the week. And there's all kinds of sharing that happens in there. And sometimes people share things that you would never have expected. And that was big for them to share it. But also it was big for you when they shared it to you, because it brought healing to you and they have no idea about it. There's a beautiful thing that happens when his church ministers the comfort that they've received. It happens when we listen. God heals through people when we listen. Could you just listen to someone? This happens when we mourn together. The next time you see somebody that is visibly sad, I don't care where they are, stop. Ask them, "Hey, are you okay? You look really sad. Are you okay?" All right? We are supposed to rejoice with people, mourn with people, pray together, worship together, be together. Can I get an amen? Has anyone ever found healing in the body of Christ? Have you ever found healing in the body of Christ? Raise your hand one more time. You look around this room. There are people that have found healing in the body of Christ. You can put it down. Thank you. Christ's body, I mean his physical body, literally bore all our sorrows on the cross. Isaiah 53 tells us about it. That his body literally bore the stripes that heal us. On his body. And then the body of Christ, the church, the spiritual body of Christ, is supposed to bear each other's sorrows just as Christ did. God uses people to heal hurts. That's number one. Number two, you can be healed in his presence. You can take your hurt into his presence. Psalm 46, I got several scriptures we're going to go right through. Psalm 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Hebrews 13 and 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Psalm 147 and 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 91, 1 and 2, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Hebrews 4 and 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need. All those scriptures together have to do with two things, his presence and healing. You can go into his presence. He will cover you in the shadow of his strength. You can go into the throne of grace. No, that's the Ark of the Covenant. No, you can't go in there, but Jesus has ripped open that curtain. So now you can go boldly into the throne of grace and find healing. You can find help. You can find mercy and grace in your time of need. Have you ever been healed in his presence? Most people I know that have been supernaturally healed were healed in his presence. A lot of them were healed without even seeking it. My wife was healed of epilepsy in his presence. She was never supposed to have kids. She was never supposed to be able to drive. But she wandered in to Redemption Church one day. And she was at the altar praying. And someone looked at her and said, "Hey, do you have any needs in your life?" And she said, "No." Hiding. And she immediately fell to the ground and had a convulsion. "No, I don't need anything." And the church gathered around her and prayed for her. And that was in 2000. 2007, and she has not had another epileptic seizure since. We have three beautiful boys. The Lord did that for us, and he did it all in his presence. You're in the presence of the Lord today. Before we're done today, I want you to know that that same healing power is available to you today, not because the dude preached a good sermon, not because it's a cool hip church, but because you're in his presence. You're in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three, number one is that he uses people. Number two is that you can be healed in his presence. And number three, God grows you in the hurt. Now, this one might not sound exciting to you, but it's powerful. Your hurt does not mean you're doing something wrong. Everyone is going to experience a hurt in this world. I want you to check out Jesus' interaction with Simon Peter. Luke 22, 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Well, thanks for the warning, Jesus. Now I know it won't happen, right? Not so. While Jesus is doing something amazing here, he's saying, Simon Peter, this is Satan's plans. And he's got bad plans, and you are in his sights, dude. He is about to evil snipe you from a distance. Headshot. Boom, you're dead. Satan desires to have you. Satan plans to take you and tear you apart. That's his plan. Newsflash, that's his plan for you too. Good thing Jesus knows all about the plans of the enemy, because Jesus knows about the plans. Now they won't come to pass. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Luke 22, verse 32, very next verse. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Okay, let's get down to the bottom of this. Jesus prays not that Satan will get distracted and go somewhere else. Satan, Jesus doesn't pray, I prayed that Satan would be bound and not be able to. No, he doesn't pray that. He doesn't pray that. Simon Peter, I pray that you are so powerful that you overcome the enemy, and he runs away scared. He doesn't pray those things. He prays that his faith doesn't fail. In the middle of trouble, in the middle of Satan's plan, Jesus prays that our faith does not fail. He doesn't pray that you won't have trouble. He prays that you will come through trouble with faith. And a stronger faith. Jesus prays that we, like Simon Peter, when we have turned back from our hurt, verse 32, when you turn back, that we will be able to strengthen others. Peter, not only are you going to go through this trouble, but I'm praying that when you come through it, you come through it with power and strength, and that you're going to be able to help more people than ever. That's how Jesus wants us to go through trouble. You can go through that trouble that you're going through and come out stronger than you ever believed. And you could help other people in your own family that are going through that same problem. The best people to witness to somebody that's going through depression is somebody that has gone through depression. The best way to help somebody that's going through a divorce is somebody that has gone through a divorce. The best way to talk to a drug addict is somebody that was a drug addict. Do you get this? That when they were in that problem and they turned back, when you turn back, Peter, that you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. And did Peter go through the sifting? Absolutely. But did he come back stronger than ever? You absolutely better believe it. He shows up in Acts chapter 2 filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he preaches the very first message about Jesus Christ resurrected. It's powerful. God wants you to grow. In the middle of your problem, he's got a growth plan for you. You remember my ghost costume? I'm pretty sure you're scarred forever. You'll remember it. I was wanting to be that ghost for Halloween. Do you think I could wear that costume today? Maybe if I really tried, squeeze a girdle, maybe. I just tried to get, you think I can get in that? I'm 35 now, I think. Challenge accepted? No, if I brought that exact costume out and tried to get into it, that would go viral really quick on the internet. All right. No, I couldn't, right? That guy's 4 years old or something. I couldn't do that. That's more than 30 years ago. I couldn't wear that costume anymore because I have grown. I've grown out of that costume. Would you agree with that? All right. You may have hurts in your life. You may have labels that have been placed on you. You might have a false identity that you're forced to wear. But I want to tell you today, it doesn't fit anymore. Just like this costume doesn't fit me anymore. It doesn't fit you anymore. Now, this can be really tricky because although God has grown you through his word, through his wisdom, by his spirit, your mind is still telling you that that's you. That that's your costume, that that is who you are. The children of Israel were slaves to the Assyrians. Israel often found its way into slavery. They were slaves to the Assyrians, and God wanted them to be free. Here is how he set them free. In that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because of the anointing. Also because you have grown so fat. Look at somebody say, grown so fat. Not that you're telling them they have. I'm sorry if I got you in trouble. Now this verse has always been really difficult to translate. I grew up with the old King James Version. It said like this. The anointing will break the yoke. You ever heard that version? The anointing will break the yoke. And that's absolutely true. I've heard many sermons about that. That the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to just flow and just shatter the bondage. Shatter the yokes that of your slavery. And you're going to be set free. And that leads us to believe like this supernatural force externally is going to come to your situation. And boom, bang, you're set free. And that's a powerful sermon. And God can absolutely do that. But this verse actually says it a little different when you study out the Hebrew. God's Spirit does break the yoke, but it doesn't break it externally. The costume of slavery that the Assyrians made Israel wear, that yoke of bondage, God's Spirit will break that costume off your life if you'll surrender your life to him today, but it won't be external. It will be internal. Looking deeper into the language, it reveals that the word anointing is also used to describe growth. The same word that leads us always to a study in the Holy Spirit lets us know that it doesn't just give you good feels. It doesn't just give you good goosebumps. It doesn't just make you feel okay. It actually grows you. In some of the languages, it actually is used for the word fatness. The anointing is fatness. It is growing large. All right. So God wants you to outgrow the hurt. I want you to go back to that scripture. I want you to see this real quick. That because of the anointing, if we can go back to that scripture, Rob. If we can go back, look at this. That the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. What breaks the anointing? It's not this external force. It's actually the Holy Spirit inside of you causing you to grow. Imagine that yoke that's on the backs of a prisoner. But they just, because of their strength and their growth, because they have more character than ever, because they have more wisdom than ever, because they have more power inside of them than ever, it breaks the yoke from the inside out. See, God wants to heal you through other people. He wants to heal you in his presence, but he also wants you to grow so much that the bondage of the enemy no longer fits you. My dad had a smoking addiction when he came to the Lord. Say hi to the people, Dad. There's my dad. He's with us today. I'm glad you're here. He had a smoking addiction when he came back to the Lord. God did powerful things in his life. And one of those things that my dad was set free from was his addiction to cigarettes. He wanted to be free, and God set him free. One day, my dad was in the grocery store, and he had been smoke-free for years, maybe a decade. And he's at the checkout aisle, and he knew it was the enemy. The enemy just said, "Don't those cigarettes look really good right now? You ought to just buy you a box, a carton of cigarettes, and then, you know, no one would have to know, and you could just enjoy one or two." Does that sound like the Lord? No, that was the enemy. My dad's response, he laughed out loud in the grocery store. He's like, "Laugh, Dad, what's your laugh sound like?" "Ha, that's not even good enough. Ha, ha, ha." He laughed out loud. He's like, "Ha, enemy, you're going to have to do much better than that. That doesn't fit me anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That's not even a temptation anymore." What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that there was something that happened in Clyde Fluitt that transformed him from the inside out. And the enemy came along. See, here's how the enemy comes along. The enemy comes along, and the enemy only has a few plans. He only has a few ideas. I'm trying not to trip. All right. He only has a few things to do. Here's what he does. He's like, "Well, let's see what worked on Mr. Fluitt in the past. Let's see if we can get something. What do I have in my box of tricks? Let's see. Maybe I can pull this. He has trouble with anger. And so the enemy comes up to me and slaps this on me." And I'm like, "This is for a 5-year-old. This doesn't fit me. I've grown since you tried this on me." And he's like, well, let's get to something else. Let's try over here. How about this one? Remember you had that trouble? He's like, "No." I'm going to tell you that you can grow in God so much that he comes to you with these things and you actually laugh in the enemy's face. And you tell him, "Hey, listen, I don't know who you think you're talking to, because the character of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God has come into my life. And I'm not that person who I used to be. I don't look for joy in drugs anymore. I don't look for happiness in bad relationships anymore. This no longer fits."
That's good. Yes, God.
And I want to tell you, let's just be braggadocious about it. Satan is an idiot and he doesn't have many plans and he doesn't know what else to try new. And when you fall in love with the Lord and you know now that he's better than any of those other things, he's like, "I'm all out of stuff. I better move on to the next person." That's how you can defeat the enemy. But you can't defeat the enemy. It's not about this external thing. It's only allowing the Holy Spirit to take residence inside of your life. And it grows you in such a way that it breaks the yoke of the enemy from the inside out. You don't have to go to somebody and say, "Can you pry this off for me? Can you give me some medication to help loosen this up?" No, it breaks from the inside out. That's the power of Jesus inside of you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been set free from a bondage? Anybody ever been set free from anger? Anybody ever been set free from the fear of the past? Praise God. I'm so glad that God does that. Amen. What if the next time the enemy tried to reach into your past and pull out a costume and slap it on you, you just laughed at him and said, "That's not me. That's not who I am. I'm a new creation." You see, you're living in the past, but I don't live in the past anymore. The old things have passed away. Behold, God has made everything new. I'm a new creation, and God does new things inside of me. God wants to do more than put a Band-Aid on your problem. God wants to do more than you just turn over a new leaf. God wants to give you complete victory over the enemy. He wants to give you complete victory over the hurt. You've been trying to manage the hurt. "I just try to manage it so I can get through the day and not cry." God has a better way than that. I just try to manage it so no one thinks something's wrong. God has more better for you than that. Look at somebody and say, "He's got more better. He's got Mo better. He absolutely does. He wants to grow you in every way from the inside out. That could be wisdom. That could be character. That could be all the fruits of the Spirit. He can grow you spiritually into the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to grow you. And the biggest times I've ever grown in my life, they were when I was hurting. I basically walked into the call of ministry while I was hurting. I was like, God, can you make this stop? And while that was happening, God instead called me into ministry. It's powerful. I don't know what God wants to call you into today, but he wants to call you out of that hurt. He wants to call you to higher ground, to a stronger way of living. With God's help, you can laugh in the enemy's face and declare, it doesn't fit anymore. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped God together. And that was great. We've received the word of God together. It's kind of a different kind of sermon today, but this was the word of God. Number three, this is the last thing we're going to do together. I want you to talk to God. Now, you sung about God, you've heard about God, but this is the time where you can talk to God. And here's what we do. I just want to explain this. We've got this place down here. We call it the altar. And I want to invite you down to this altar. If that's not your thing, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. You can talk to God from wherever you are. But I want to talk to somebody today that wants to take a brand new step, that wants with that step to say, I'm done hiding. I want God to set me free. If that's you today, I want you to be bold enough to join us down here at the front. If you're a member of Redemption Church, you already know about it. You come on down right now. And if you want special prayer in this place, we have a place. Y'all can come on. I'm done. Y'all come talk to God. In the first 2 feet of this altar, if you come in this first 2 feet, that tells us you want us to pray for you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, no one will mess with you. No one's going to bother you. Let's pray right now. Let's talk to him. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have in you. Lord, I thank you that you are the truth that sets us free. And if you have set us free, we are free indeed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I want somebody to find healing in this place today. I want somebody, Lord, to be a healing power in someone else's life. God, let your church be filled with that kind of healing comfort in the name of Jesus. Lord, let someone be healed in your presence, God, in Jesus' name. We come against the enemy and all of his lies. He is an absolute liar. And God, you are the healer. With your stripes, we are healed. Both our physical, both our emotional, both our spiritual. All of it, God, is healed by you in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's talk to the Lord today.